lovely ladies in the studio that are all part of MAPPA, and one fly in the wall. Peter Liu is doing Facebook Live. Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone on Facebook.
Hello.
He does. He's a wizard on that, isn't he?
He's really good
at social media. Aren't they pretty looking at them? There we go. Starting right and going to left, we've got Hoku. Hoku's been working with Dave Johnston and really involved in getting this huge Into the Woods production out of the woods and into Mac. It's going to be at the Mac soon. Next week you go into the Mac, or the week after?
Next week. Nice play on words, by the way.
Thank you.
That was good. Next week, yes, we open next week, Friday.
Wow.
That's August 24th.
Yeah. Can you believe that's coming up so fast?
No. We're taking it day by day.
It's going too fast. So it's everyone, you have to check this one out. It's going to be so fantastic. Into the Woods, opening night, August 24th. And I'm telling you, you should get tickets now. Why? Because tickets on opening night especially go really, really fast. Everyone wants to go to the premiere night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 24th, 25th, and 26th. And then the following weekend, the 31st, Friday the 31st, September 1st, and the 2nd. And it's going to be, an amazing performance. Now, these summer performances have quite a history. And each one is like this amazing production number with huge, huge cast and crew. And we're going to be talking to some of the people. Of course, you know, and you help direct and arrange this all, Hoku. But we also have in the studio here Yezzy, who is got quite a wonderful background as a dancer and a choreographer. She has her own dance company, and she does work also with Seabream. And this is going to be a very interesting piece to do choreography on, because it's a little different. You don't have it's not a field. It's a woods that you're
yes,
into.
This is very true. But it definitely makes it really interesting and fun. For my background, I actually graduated from University of the Arts in Philadelphia with a BFA in Jazz Dance Musical Theater.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And then you traveled around.
Yes.
You traveled to Jersey. What were you doing in Jersey?
That's actually where I grew up. So I grew up there. I left to go to college and then started working professionally I was still in college for a cirque company that was down in Florida.
Oh, wow. And that must have been amazing.
It really was, because that was when I got to study aerial work. So
you
when
did
I was
aerial,
down
you
there.
You did those strange, hard, difficult moves on it?
Yes. My main apparatus was the lira, which is basically a metal hula hoop that hangs from the ceiling.
That's scary.
It is, and it leaves a lot of bruises.
I
it's
bet
hard.
It does. Yeah, my gosh. Well, if you want to watch on Facebook to see how lovely Yezzy is, it's MAPPA Facebook. Where is it?
Yeah, it's on the MAPPA page.
On the MAPPA page, okay. Because, you know, it's hard work being a dancer. Is it harder being a dancer or being a choreographer?
They're actually very different in a lot of ways. One is making someone else's vision a reality, and, well, I guess actually in both ways it is, because I try to make my directors. Vision come to reality.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting being on both sides of the spectrum, either getting to create it and have somebody else perform it for you versus somebody else create it and have you do that for them.
It sounds like something where you get to really free your creative inner dance self in this lovely way of expressing your emotion. And yet you have to work within the confines of a rather large cast here.
They are a very talented cast.
Very talented cast.
Which is really amazing that I get to work with them in general as it goes. So.
Yeah, no, but they're not all dancers, are they?
No, but they are movers.
They're movers and shakers.
Exactly.
But they're not going to shake so much as move, right?
Depends on the scene.
Okay. So let's go down, Hoku. I'm going to pull you in and give us, let's all be impressed by some of the people in the cast playing some of the major roles here.
Oh, of course. Yes, we do have a outstanding cast. We like to call them the A-Team because there are tons of talented actors on this island, and we happen to have a huge handful of them.
Yeah.
First starting with the narrator, who is also the mysterious man, Robert E. Wills. We've seen Bob, I think, last time in Guys and Dolls, so it's been a while since we've seen him on stage. Cinderella, or as we like to affectionately call her, Cindy, is played by the lovely Liana Locke. And we have also, there we go, Jack is Keegan Alderson, Jack of Beanstalk fame. Jack's mother is Christy Scott. Baker is Logan Jacob Heller, which it's been a while since he's had a lead, but he was actually just in Charlie Brown. So if you got to see that, you'll remember him from there. Baker's wife, the amazing Lena Kruger. Milky White is actually our lovely choreographer as well, Yezzy. Yezzy is playing.
Oh, I didn't know you were in it as well, Yezzy.
Yes.
I didn't know until recently myself.
She joked one day because we were trying to look for a Milky White, and she said, I would love to be Milky White. And David and I both looked at each other and went, yeah. Okay. So here
it's
she
Milky
is.
Milky White, like
she's
Snow
a cow.
White? Oh, she's a cow.
I died really well, and so that, I think, was...
Uh-oh, you're giving away a plot twist here. Uh-oh. No, you didn't hear that. Spoiler alert.
And moving on, Cinderella's mother, her stepmother, is Lisa Teichner.
Oh, Lisa, we love Lisa.
We do.
She's in here quite often, actually.
Oh, is she? She's
oh, yeah,
fabulous.
She's quite a bit. On Friday, she comes and does
She's
show.
Such a pro.
Yeah.
Florinda is Monica Burney, and Lucinda, her sister, is Jackie Messier,
oh,
the two of them.
That's my real name, is Lucinda.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, Cindy from Lucinda, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you have to meet Jackie, both her and Monica.
There aren't a lot of Lucindas out there.
I wouldn't think so.
You might be the only couple of Lucindas on the island.
You guys will have to bond.
Be, yeah.
Cinderella's father is played by Joey Schumacher, who is a staple on the stage as well. Little Red Riding Hood brings back Casey Hughes.
Oh.
It's been a while since we've seen Casey. She went off and became a beautiful mother of a little girl named Lindy. And so we're so happy to finally have her back on stage with us. This is the first time she's actually working with MAPPA. The Witch is also another one that hasn't done something in a while, but Kirsten Otterson. God, is she amazing. Mm-hmm. She's just fun to work with, and she's just so open. Cinderella's mother is Virgie Cantorna.
Oh, we love Virgie.
Yes.
Everyone does. And she's got a voice, doesn't she?
Oh, she has a gorgeous voice.
Love her voice, yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous voice. Wolf, played by the Francis Taua, the amazing Francis Taua. Granny by the crack-up Ally Shore, who, if you give her any chance, will steal the scene. Rapunzel is played by the beautiful Sarah Jelly. Rapunzel's Prince, played by Ricky Jones. Cinderella's Prince, played by Jerry Eiding. Everyone loves Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the steward.
And talk about a voice.
And again, talk about a voice. I mean, this cast, their voices.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You've said that they're a big cast, but comparatively to our other shows, this is a small cast.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's
normally.
Just they're big people.
They're just well-known names.
And they're not mean big.
Yeah, no. Although Bob does say quite often that he's not a small little cream puff. The Giant is played by none other than Kathy Collins.
Which is so funny, because we know Kathy's not... She's very petite.
She is quite petite. Yeah. So we thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Snow White, played by Jenna Mukai, and Sleeping Beauty, played by Hayley DeForest. We also have our wonderful ensemble that are kind of our druids in our forest, played by Brock Ambrose, Shane Borge, Elisha Cullins, Riley Hubin, Kylie Kaeo, Orion Milligan, Jenna Mukai, Sarah Patton, and Jace Levitt again.
Now, you've given away a lot of clues from going down that list about what this show's about. And, I mean, I've seen the movie, and many people may have seen the movie, but in case people haven't, it's a rather interesting plot. And it's a psychological plot, and it's a fun plot. And it's also, because it takes characters that you can really play with, right? Mm-hmm. So give people a little background of what Into the Woods is about. Well, should we do the elevator version? Right.
The elevator version is Into the Woods is pretty much fractured fairy tales. So they bring together stories you know, such as Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella and her princes, or prince, I should say, Rapunzel and her prince. And they're mixing these stories together. And they've included one new couple that you've never heard about, the baker and his wife.
What about the cow?
Oh, and the cow is with Jack.
Okay,
yes.
Of course.
Milky White is belonging to Jack. She is kind of all over the place. She becomes everyone's cow at some point in time.
Oh, no. Oh, what does that say?
You'll have to come and see what I mean.
All very mysterious.
So it's a lovely, and it's not a fairy tale. But it uses the fairy tale images to evoke something in us. Because we grew up with these characters.
We did. We did grow up with these characters. A lot of us actually grew up with the Disney version of these characters.
That's true. Yes.
Which is not what exactly this tale is about. This tale is more true to the Brother Grimm's stories. Mm-hmm. A little bit more adult. There's a lot more in terms of lessons to be learned there. David, our director, brilliant as he is, you know, questioned into the woods. It's said over and over again in the show, why? And he finally came to this conclusion that it's an invitation. When you're saying come into the woods, you're not saying the literal woods, but it's the psychological part of yourself going into yourself and finding the things that you're afraid of, finding those things that make you a better person and bringing those back to your community once you found those things. Mm. And you don't just find it once. You have to keep going into the woods.
That's very, very well put. Yeah. Very well put. When you started work on this was about when? When did the rehearsals begin?
May? I would say May. Yeah, I was going to say it's been a long process. This process is quite long because we have a producer circle that we prepare for first. So we started, I believe, in the end of May with vocal. They worked on the songs, and then we did a producer circle in June. And after that, we began the full extent of our rehearsal period.
And Yezzy, when did you start the choreography on this?
I came in to start working on producer circle, so I would say maybe halfway through June.
Uh-huh.
So that way.
So you're now at the point where you're just refining your work, right? You're refining all. Hopefully you're at the point. They're not learning from fresh. They're just getting it ready to polish it up, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's always subject to change until it isn't, which I like to say that
I like
at the beginning.
That's very good. It's all subject to change until it isn't.
Preparation.
And it isn't after the show's over. Then it still could be for the next show. No, we don't go that far, right?
It's always a continuation.
It's always a continuation. Well, I want to bring on our lovely other two people who are guests here in the studio, JoJo and Lorraine. And
It's Larnie.
Oh, Larnie, come on in close.
Sorry.
And JoJo is the costume designer.
Yes.
And with her is Larnie, who does not only assistant costume designing, but wigs. And I've never actually met a person in charge of wigs before, so nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This is a wonderful drama for costumes, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How wild can you go on your costumes?
Honestly speaking, you can really, I mean, the sky's the limit. Even in the movie, I think they took some liberties with the direction that they went, and they had their own reasonings for choosing the costumes and colors that they did. When David and I were talking, a lot of that kind of psychological transformation of them entering the woods and being in the woods and what that means when they come out of the woods as well was a big part of the inspiration for costumes. When him and I were talking, one of the reasons I actually really wanted to do this show and have been wanting to do this show is because I grew up with the fairy tales. And I watched the Disney versions, but I actually really love the Grimm version.
Mm-hmm.
And it is much darker, and it is a very different telling of the stories than what we're used to in the Disney happy version.
So is that a different interpretation then with the costumes than you would do if you were doing fairy tales?
Not exactly. I think that was a big part of the inspiration. One thing that we wanted to do in costumes was really look back at when the original stories were written because of how much the Grimm fairy tales really inspired these characters.
Interesting. So 18 what?
It's anywhere from the 16th century to the 18th century.
Oh, I thought it was later. I didn't know it started in the 16th.
Yeah, so depending on the story, of course, Jack and the Beanstalk was a little earlier. Little Red Riding Hood was probably a little bit earlier. Our Cinderella story hits right in the Baroque and Rococo period, so that was a lot of fun with the silhouette. We kind of got to go really wide with their with the paniers, and then we got to go really big with hair. So that was a lot of fun to design for. A lot of things that actors had to adjust to because it's new silhouettes and extra body extensions that they're probably not used to walking around with and moving through doors with.
My mind kind of boggles at these body extensions. I mean, I've heard of hair extensions, but I haven't heard of these body extensions before.
Yeah. So for 17th century, if you think about Marie Antoinette, you know, sort of the really wide hips and the really tall hair. I guess the most recent example of that would probably be the Kirsten Dunst movie that everyone refers to, but that's not really as accurate of a telling of that time period.
So you have to be careful if you have too big a wig. I guess I'll bring our wig person in.
Yeah, absolutely.
The wigs here, you wigs have to be balanced while you're moving, dancing, and moving, and some of them are pretty big, I guess, right?
Yeah. as much as we would like them to be balanced, there is, like, I'm just going to say there's a lot of asymmetry in the way that the hair is primarily because it's just really appealing and because of headwear, which was also really popular in the time. It's hard because wigs is like huge.
How many wigs do you have?
I believe we have about 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how do they stick on the head?
It really depends. Most of our wigs are lace front, which means that the front of the wig is made out of a lace or has a fake scalp, and every individual fiber is sewn or like hand done into the wig. And then I modified a good number of them so that they would sit a certain way on the head and be styled a certain way. And then really all the actors have to do is that they have to just pin it in.
So are they already using the wigs? Are you already getting the actors using the wigs and costumes?
We're sort of in the beginning of that process. Costumes comes on a little bit later. We usually have a lot of prep time because we have to build. We actually built a lot of our costumes on the mainland and then shipped them over.
Oh, wow, that's hard. So a lot of calls back and forth and a lot of pictures flying.
A little bit, yeah. Hoku and I had a very long relationship prior to me even coming to the island. So that was actually really great. She was really transparent, so we had a lot of chats back and forth about what things would look like. Mm-hmm. And I was sending pictures all the time, even in process.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Do you work with the colors in the lights that are going on and the colors in your costume? Will those have to be interwoven?
Yeah, definitely. We have a lot of production meetings ahead of time so that we are able to kind of be on the same page, at least in theory. It's kind of like what Yessi says, everything's changing until it can't change anymore. And lighting, you know, has a little bit more adjustment time because they do come in also at the end. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my collaboration happens with the scenic designer first, where we're sort of talking about colors early on. And that's also something that's kind of driven by Hoku and David as the directors. So
is there a lot of, there's the dark of the woods and then the light between with the people.
Yes.
So spotlights, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah.
And then the colors and the movement going on. And I have to intertwine you because choreography with these big, what do you call them, wide or?
Yeah.
That's got to come into play with choreography if you can't. I mean, the guys, I guess, can move easier than the women in this, right? But, I mean, how do you figure dance on something where you have a rather large outfit to wear?
Well, I think it's an adjustment, and especially for women, we're used to mostly dealing with difficult garments at times.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and when you go, there are shoes that I wear that I don't even think I should be able to walk in, but somehow
adrenaline
do
hits.
Amazing things. But also, too, I feel like because of that, that adds a very human element, especially to the movement.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you bump into each other, that has to be part of it. Or focusing more on the arms than the feet, because the feet aren't necessarily going to be seen.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. And do you have dances where there are men and women dancing together, or is it kind of all individual choreography of individuals?
A little bit of both. Uh-huh. There will be some duets in there, mm-hmm. and some group work. So a little bit of everything.
It's who's doing makeup?
Larnie was designing some of it, we had talked about it. So technically she is our makeup. But because everybody that I listed, all the cast, they're all volunteers. And we are so grateful for them because they put in all this time and they aren't paid for it. So everything you're going to see is out of a labor of love.
Wow.
For them. Yes.
And hours and hours and hours mm-hmm. of hard work and mm-hmm. learning, dancing, doing the whole thing, and of course the lines.
Of course, yeah.
And of course great music as well. There is music once again,
yes.
which is good, great music involved here, mm-hmm. which is a whole thing to learn, you know, the lines and learn the music and sing together. It's key as well.
It is, and we are led by the wonderful Gary Levitt, and he has been our musical director for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's just wonderful with working with the actors, and he's been having such a great time, he said, because he does have such experienced singers this year. The amount of vocal production that they can produce as a group is astounding, considering how small of a group they are comparatively to what we've had. And then, of course, we're led by the David Johnston, you know, mm-hmm. who has been doing this for the last...
Has he become the David Johnston?
He is the David Johnston.
he's
he would
not
love, if he's the... listening, he's happy I said that. You're welcome, David.
I love it, the David Johnston. That's very good. And it kind of describes him. I can understand that. Well, how many shows, my gosh, how many shows has he done, right? You've worked with him now for how long?
I've been working with David, mostly the capacity of being an actor, with him for the last 5 years. And then only this year have I been working on the other side of the table with him, mm-hmm. Watching his directing style. He's been mentoring me.
But when there's something like this, and it seems to me, knowing a little bit, only through interviews mainly, the David Johnston, that there's a lot of thought that goes into all this. He's a thinker, isn't he?
That is
correct. Everyone's nodding their heads here. My gosh, I think I struck a note.
Does anybody want to elaborate?
Because, I mean, he really takes it deeply into consideration in how it's going to be. And each play he picks is like a challenge, a major challenge, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's fascinating to watch and to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Because for somebody who's so specific, is just as open, which is really cool. And
there's a lot of communication
you
have a lot of communication.
Yes, back and forth.
And how does that affect you as a choreographer and a cow?
My split personality. It goes both ways. It's actually also fun to be on the other side of the coin and get, you know, some direction as being a cow, as well as direction as to the essence of what each scene or what each character represents. So it's kind of a crafting, mm-hmm. because I go in there with my thought process and he has his thought process, mm-hmm. and we get to find somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. and I think that's a great experience, especially for the people that we are working with.
Were you responsible for taking the wheels away from him this year?
I cannot claim responsibility on that.
That's actually Jamie Tate, who is our scenic designer and actually our technical director for the Maui Academy of Performing Arts.
Well, but because the David Johnston is known for having these moving scenes and sets and... Mm-hmm. They have a choreography of themselves, you know.
They're still moving.
They're still moving, okay.
Yes. Always.
Well, he said his wheels were taken from him this year, but not all, huh?
Not all. He got two things on wheels this year. He smuggled those in. He's like, well, I just need these. So he does have two things that are on wheels. The rest of the things are moving as well. They're just not on wheels.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But the trees move?
You'll have to come see.
Okay, very good. I mean, because, you know, nothing like a forest that moves, right? I mean, that can be really, that could be rather, or, unless the trees are people.
Oh, maybe.
Oh.
You're going to have to come see it.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you dress a tree? Long.
Trying not to give away too much.
How many costumes do you have in the show?
A lot.
It's at least 80 plus.
Wow, that's a huge wardrobe.
Yeah. There's, wow. Most of the characters do stay in one costume, but we have a few that have at least three or four changes. So it really just depends on the character.
Do they dress different in the woods than out of the woods? Mm.
That's something also that you'll have to find out. I'm trying not to give too much away, you know? These design meetings. Design discussions are always a dead giveaway. There are some, and I will say you'll probably have to come see the show to see the rest of them.
Yeah. One of, I think, the biggest things we talked about, which I think JoJo touched on, is when people come into the woods, that the woods do affect them, not just emotionally, but physically, and that does manifest in some of the costuming.
It does, yes.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was just kind of mentally and emotionally. Yeah. I didn't know it's physical as well. Of course, it does all tie together. It's just that we don't see that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting point to it. I mean, it's really always at the highlight of the summer to go to the MAPPA shows. So and another thing about the David Johnston, I'm going, why do you, these shows you do are so difficult? You know, it's like, wow, you know. But he does. He chooses. He never goes for the easy way out, does he? He always goes for the high bar, right?
He does, because he believes theater is there to help reflect on society. And so if it's not, theater's not saying something, then why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. Theater is more than just entertainment. It does entertain, naturally, but it should be there to for us as a society to reflect on where we are, on something that's affecting. I always use that wrong, but yeah, as a society,
it's affecting.
It affects us.
I hope it affects us.
Well, that's what we hope, and that's what he strives for in his shows. That's why, even if you've seen Into the Woods,
it's very different. It's watching very a different movie versus going to a show like this that's theater with people you know are volunteering to give themselves to a play like this, which is a massive amount of time and work.
Yes.
So, you know, and I think it's grown. I guess I'd have to ask Peter, but Peter's doing Facebook Live. so he's hiding behind his camera just like he would a TV, right? Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it seems like there's really a high expectation as well, because people know that these are top flight actors that could be on Broadway, and some of them have been, but want to do it because they like to live on Maui and they like to live here and they're getting themselves to it. I mean, there used to be the attitude long time ago, it's like, well, it's Maui theater, you know. That's really gone away, you know. It's not like, no, you can just not say it's just Maui theater. Yeah. But the one thing I have to bring up is that if we were going to go to Broadway or San Francisco or Los Angeles, it would cost about $200 more than it's costing to go to Into the Woods. And the fact that all these people are not getting, oh, that's an interesting one. That you played your music there on your water container. That was very good.
Added to the effect.
That's really good. So, I mean, to go to Into the Woods, my gosh, I don't know how you're able to make it so affordable. Tickets are only $22, $44, and $66. Now, that would be $200, $400, $600 or $700 or $800, but by the time the scalpers got it up, it'd be $4,000, right? I mean, but that is the way it goes, right? And you all know, because you've been in the theater business for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, most things are very, very expensive.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where I went to New York and I wanted to go to a theater show and I really couldn't afford it. I mean, the cheapest show I could find, I was in downtown and Broadway, but $600. And I'm going, I don't want to spend $600. No, that's almost a ticket somewhere, right? But I mean, not that it's probably not worth it, but people have been doing this and going and paying this money because it is the experience that's unforgettable when you go to a show live.
Yeah, no, there's no other feeling than watching live theater, just as far as there's the emotional aspect of things and the energy that people share on stage and they emote into the audience. And to be moved by that, there's no other experience like it.
There's also an interaction. Don't you feel it when you're on stage? It's interaction that happens between the people on stage and the theater and the people in the audience?
Very much so. There's a sharing of energy and support. And you're allowing yourself to see something that maybe, given a different circumstance, you wouldn't be able to experience or even realize about yourself. You know, there's, even though you're surrounded by people in an audience, you're having a personal experience. And I think the same goes on stage.
That's a good point. You've done jazz dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hit that. Does that, are you implementing that feeling into, because this is a psychological drama, and I think of jazz dance as a psychological expression of dance. Is that kind of correct? You know, you think jazz dance is a psychological expression?
It definitely can be, and I believe it, for the most part, outside of ballet, it's the most familiar to people, even though contemporary has made its way
into popularity.
But there's
more freedom in jazz than there is ballet.
I would say so,
mm-hmm.
in a different way. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me because I'm such a technician.
Oh, you're a technician.
As far as like the technique of the different genres go for dancing, but jazz definitely allows more freedom and is more accessible, I would say.
Are you happy to see that also the dance through the course of all these TV shows with the famous dancers and the dance shows dancing's kind of come back, right?
Yes, it's amazing to see and to bring that back. And the same thing even with live theater,
mm-hmm.
just to be able to have that kind of exposure and for people to realize that they can still experience those things and that they're still important is really necessary.
Okay, so how much jazz dance is in the show? Don't say you have to come see it. How much of it you get to do?
I feel like I've dropped enough spoilers for one day, but as I said, there
will
be some.
You just told us the cow died. That was a, you know.
There are some fun duets, and so I will leave you with that. There's some fun jazzy duets.
With dance?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
Okay, and going back to our Jojo, you know, there was a song written about you.
Yes, I know.
You know that, Boss Gags, yeah. you're the first Jojo I've actually met.
Oh, good.
But in the costumes, are there some very romantic costumes? Do you get to go romantic? Aren't romantic costumes fun?
Absolutely. I mean, all of these costumes are fun for me. There's just so much more about period costumes that I don't get to do very often, and that's something that I love about theater. There are quite a few romantic costumes in this one. We've got a lot of romantic relationships as well.
Is the cow very romantic? No.
I think she can be.
I think she
There is a love between her and her owners, I guess.
And the hair can be romantic, right? Hair can be romantic.
I feel like if I go into any conversation about the hair, I'll just spoil all of it.
Oh, no.
It was actually quite funny because I remember the stepsisters, because it's that whole Rococo kind of style. And Larnie's like, look at this. And I was like, oh, it's beautiful. Can we make it bigger? And she's like, bigger? I'm like, yeah.
A lot bigger.
You really have to see the show to see how big they've become.
Oh, I love it. It sounds great. It is really a fantasy, psychological fantasy, musical, dance, extravaganza. Did I miss something?
With gorgeous costumes and hair. And lighting. We'll have beautiful lighting.
Lighting is so important. People don't realize how important lighting is, especially on something that is a psychological drama. You definitely, the lighting, especially something like the woods and stuff, it's very tricky. You know?
Yes, and because of
who's doing lights? We should give them a shout out.
Mark Estrella and Matt. Matt, I don't want to butcher your last name. Matt Moreau. I think that's how I say it. I just call him Matt normally. But they're over at the MAC, and so they're both just fabulous on lights. And this year, because our set isn't moving as much, we are going to be using a lot more lights to help change the mood and setting of each place that we're in the woods.
So is the opening night's usually the busiest night, isn't it? Or it's, I mean, sometimes you're sold out. Mm-hmm. But there are Sunday, and I know some people like to go on Sunday at 3 o'clock. So it's 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, and there's a Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Yes. And I know some people like to do that. You know, truthfully, I can understand that, right?
Yeah.
And then, so you really should get tickets.
Yes.
Because you can choose your seats. A lot of people wait. It drives me crazy. Doesn't it drive you crazy? People wait to the end. I don't know why they wait to the end. Peter, do you know why they wait to the end? But that's Maui. You know, it wouldn't be if they were thinking the scalper is going to buy up all the tickets. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't wait to the end.
It's called Hawaiian time. We all know it.
Yes. But call 242-SHOW and get your tickets, or you can go to mauiarts.org. And they're very, very helpful. And getting, if you call the box office, the seats that you want. Because you want the seats, right? And you want to say something, don't you?
I always want to say something. The one thing that we do want to mention, especially for opening night, is that we have a special $20 only for students with valid IDs.
Yay!
To be able to come and see the show.
Wow, is that wonderful? $20 opening night only for students. And that's going to be fun.
And that's all ages, too.
Aww.
So anybody that has a student ID can get that discount.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up. And we don't want people to wait. And not only that, folks, when people see this and the word gets out about what a great show it is, the tickets are going to sell out. Mm-hmm. And you won't have the seats you want if you get any seats at all. So don't wait. Get your seats. It's worth getting them now. 242-SHOW. If you want to pick your seats with the help of the box office, or go to mauiarts.org and look at the little map, and you can do it that way, too. It's a wonderful, wonderful crew and cast. And I want to thank Peter. He's been working hard getting everything done here. And the wonderful people. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for everything. I want to thank our lovely people here. And it's great seeing you again, Hoku and Yezzy and Jojo and Lorraine. Is it Lorraine?
Technically, it's Laarnie.
Laarnie. Oh, my gosh. That's a first, too. I've never met a Laarnie or a Jojo. Actually, you're the first Yezzy, so this is all. I knew Hoku Padilla, of course. But, you know, so you're not the first Hoku.
No.
But, you know, you're in good shoes there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hoku's a good name. I like it. So, and I want to thank you all so much and for the work you're doing and expressing what you're doing. It's a really creative endeavor, and it's beautiful to see your lovely faces all full of energy for this creative expression of Into the Woods. I mean, I absolutely adore the idea of it and what you're doing, and I can't wait. I'm really excited about having the opportunity to get out and see it. So a big mahalo, and mahalo to each of you for the work you're doing, and especially all the people who aren't here, which include a ton of volunteers. They're all volunteers, mm-hmm. but a lot of other people behind the scenes that we don't get to see.
Yes.
Yeah, musicians and the other mm-hmm. people and all the people working on the amazing sets as well, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So a big mahalo to them as well. So thank you so much, and we'll see you again, and I'll see you as a cow. Next time I see you, you'll be a cow, but I'll kind of know you.
Yes, you will. I'll make sure I come find you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
All right, we're going to hear from Kalani, Kalani Pea. Kalani has a brand new CD out. We're going to hear all about it. I am so thrilled.